Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Fly ball on the infield. Berger gives way to Simeon, and the Rangers win a 1-0 game. We figured a run might be dangerous early. It took until the sixth inning for either team to score. It was a solo home run by Jake Berger, and it would hold up tonight as Jacob DeGrom and Sean Armstrong combine on a shutout of the Astros, a five-hit shutout. 1-0 the final score. Rangers have now won six straight, and the Astros dropped the first game in this four-game series.
Todd Callis on the call, Space City Home Network last night. If you wanted to get to bed early for an Astros game that gets to the beginning and the end, you know, sometimes you can go to bed early because it's 8-0. Last night, you get to bed early because two guys were dealing last night, and that game went by fast. That was a game, as we welcome you in on a Friday here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. Seth, they made this point during the broadcast several times. Like, sometimes you get these two aces that go out there, and before the game, it gets positioned as like a WrestleMania main event. This is going to be the pitcher's duel to end all pitcher's duels, and it doesn't work out that way. This one worked out that way, deluxe. How about this? Since pitches were first tracked in 1988, this just popped up on my Twitter timeline 8 seconds ago. Last night's Astros-Rangers game is the only major league game since pitches were tracked and began getting tracked in 1988 where both starters pitched 8-plus innings, allowed no more than one run, struck out 7 or more batters, and threw fewer than 100 pitches. This is the first game since 1988, basically, where two power pitchers got on the mound and just shut everything down. There was one bad pitch in the game, and it landed in the right field bleachers. And they were super economical. Neither guy got to 100 pitches last night.
Yeah, and Hunter Brown goes 8 innings for the first time in his career. Was really just incredible all night long. Had a perfect game going for a while until Adolis Garcia, who basically single-handedly won that game for them. And I would include him over DeGrom, too, because Adolis Garcia in the fourth inning made a couple of great catches.
Yeah.
Actually, the Pope won the game for him. The Pope won the game for the Rangers.
Why did Pope win the game for him?
I don't know if this was on the MLB broad network, because it was on the MLB network or the Rangers broadcast, but I stumbled across this morning. Here's what you need to know about that Berger home run.
Oh, okay.
Jake Berger leading things off for the Texas Rangers. Now, guys, Berger is Catholic, and his faith is really important to him. And there's this phrase that he's kind of come up with since the new Pope, Pope Leo, has been elected. He said, "I've kind of thought to myself, new Pope, new me. Leo's a Midwestern guy like me. I'm a proud Midwestern guy. And since he's been elected Pope, we've been pretty hot as a team."
Brown's 1-1 offering, and that is in the air, right center field. Now, they were shaded well. That ball's carrying well, though. It's gone! Bye-bye, right into the bullpen!
Do you believe in miracles? The power of the Pope!
Yeah,
got out in a hurry.
Yeah, okay. Let's make it all about ourselves, guys. Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Yeah, no, don't worry about the 6 billion people in the world. It's all about the Pope wants to benefit you. Yeah. You're a bad Catholic.
I can tell you that did not get brought up on the Astros broadcast last night. I'd not heard that. Wow. And he had another hit in like the seventh or eighth inning, too. Very hard hit ball, Berger did.
Yeah, she gave that little tidbit, obviously, right before his home run.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I'm down on this new Pope. I'm going to tell you that much.
Pope, Sean. It's a red arrow down on the new Pope. Lost the Astros a game last night.
Is the Pope to blame for the Astros only having half a lefty in their lineup? Because that would be the other big thing that you might want to do against DeGrom, who's way worse. He hasn't been a good pitcher versus lefties.
Yeah.
And yet all you have is one switch hitter to put out there against him.
Yeah.
And him and his little D. Can we please just get some variety in this lineup?
That's been an issue. I mean, independent of DeGrom. I mean, obviously it gets exacerbated against a pitcher like DeGrom, but Chandler Rome had a huge story about that in the past week about, like, hey, man, like this all righty lineup that you're trotting out here might not be optimal right now, you know? And your only real lefty that's any threat is nursing a hand injury right now, which granted, he had, quote, one of his best days yesterday, according to Joe Espada, talking about Yordan Alvarez. But he needs a few more days for this hand to heal.
I don't like the way it was phrased, that he had his best day.
Yeah.
All right. Have there been ups and downs here? Has this been
evidently.
If it's supposed to be a relatively minor hand injury, why have there been any non-good days?
Right.
I want every day to be the best day after the previous day.
Yeah.
I don't like that it's notable that he had his best day.
Well, the quote was one of his best days. So he's had other best days,
even worse.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So that was a bummer last night, but man, Hunter Brown, I couldn't really get upset with the Astros lineup just because we've been somewhat conditioned to this, A, and B, Jacob DeGrom was almost as good as Hunter Brown. I know Hunter Brown lost the game, but to your point, I mean, the Astros had opportunities in that game, and they had opportunities where they hit balls hard, but they were either right at guys or Adolis Garcia turned into a gold glover out there. Like, the Astros had chances and they hit balls hard. They just didn't. Lady Luck did not smile on them last night.
This is the whole thing about DeGrom, though, too. And this is where it felt cruel last night, given the struggles that Lance McCullers has had coming back from injuries. Yeah. DeGrom, he'll be 37 this year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2023 and 2024, he pitched a total of, let's see, 41 innings, Sean.
Yeah.
As he was coming back from his Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
And he was, and I just, I despise that he gets to just spell his name with a small D at the beginning. It annoys me every time I see it.
Like
little D DeGrom.
Like Logan.
I don't like it. You know how I feel about Odolis Garcia. There's things above and beyond the fact that they have the Rangers on their hat that annoy me about this particular Texas Rangers team.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. And that those two were front and center in the game last night does not help. So chance at redemption this weekend, I guess. Lance McCullers pitches on. Does he pitch tonight or does he pitch on Saturday? I can't remember. Do we get him a color? I know we get him a color start in this series. So this is, we got some big baseball coming up this week. And this is a team that you're in the swamp with right now. You got to win a couple of these games.
It's Lance tonight. It's Blanco. And then TBD after that.
ESPN's got Gusto on Sunday, which would stand to reason. If they're going to try to stick with six guys, it's hard to come up with six right now.
Unless Blue Ball goes out there or something, which I have no appetite for right now. No shade to Blue Ball.
No.
I would like the veteran pitchers to start as a group look a lot. And Blanco has looked more like himself as of late. Lance is the huge question mark.
I think that's the thing. Like, as we're sitting here in the midst of this long stretch of baseball. That was game 7 of 17 straight games they're going to play. I don't think we can overstate the importance that this pitching staff has actually gotten 8-inning starts out of 3 of their guys since this started. And this is with a stretch of games where you were throwing Colton Gordon out there, Ryan Gusto can't get out of the second inning, and Lance McCullers can't get out of the first inning. That Blanco and Fromber and Hunter Brown have given you 8 innings is a rarity in baseball these days. You've gotten 3, and they weren't forced 8-inning starts. These were really good starts. Where I think Fromber and Hunter Brown probably could have gone back up for the ninth. If there were a ninth inning last night, they were even talking about that on the broadcast. Like, man, the Astros get to Armstrong here and tie the game, Hunter Brown's got to go back out there. He only threw 80-something pitches last night.
You know what I'm feeling, Sean?
What are you feeling?
You know what I'm feeling?
What?
The old Astros specialty.
What's that?
What are the Astros better at than just about anybody as of late? The committee no-hitter.
Ooh, you feel one coming
All
on.
We need is 3 innings out of Lance.
They got a bullpen.
Just go out there and be an opener. It's a little too greedy to say no-hitter. Hey, let's play a math game. What do you think the difference between Lance McCullers' ERA and Eovaldi's ERA is right now? That's who's pitching tonight for the Rangers.
So Lance's ERA. Lance has pitched 4 innings total. He pitched 3 2/3 and then a third.
Yeah.
7 earned runs. So his ERA is probably somewhere around 15 or 16 right now.
Oh, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
It's 15.7. I don't want to give you the answers to the test.
Oh, okay. Well, but I'm just saying. Well, the
15.75.
15.75. I just need the exact number. So Uvalde's is probably like in the 2s or 3s. I don't know. I'm going to guess. I'll put it at 12.3 is the difference between the two. What's Uvalde's ERA?
I'll give you a bell for that. No, I can't give you a bell for that. 13.97 is the difference. Uvalde's ERA is 1.78.
Oh, he's been that good, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That's where you went wrong. You didn't realize Uvalde's been that good.
I think I should get a ding for calculating Lance McCullers' ERA within a few tenths of a point
okay,
in my head.
Okay, ding him.
Yeah.
Ding him.
And then buzz me for the other thing. Yeah. There we go. All right. We're good.
Back to the positives, because we're all about the positives. Yeah. As far as Hunter Brown, third lowest ERA in the league right now.
Yeah.
Second most innings pitched.
Yep.
So going back to these guys need to be horses while we're in flux with the injuries. Across the last 365 days, only Paul Skenes has a lower ERA than Hunter Brown. So right around now, this time last year, was Hunter Brown discovered his sinker.
Yep.
And since then, he's been one of the very best pitchers in baseball. And then he's also got Brown's got the lowest FIP in the league right now.
That's the thing. The ERA matches the eye test. You know, like FIP, for those who don't know, the FIP is basically independent of fielding and things like that. What your ERA should be based on contact and everything else.
So he's had actually a tiny bit of bad luck where his ERA theoretically could even be better than it is.
Wow, yes. The FIP's even lower than the ERA right now.
Well, he's got the lowest FIP in the league.
In the league,
he's only got the third lowest ERA.
Loser. he's been fun to watch. Like there hadn't been much appointment watching if you're an Astros fan this year. Hunter Brown starts our appointment watching, no doubt about that.
Got some good. As they pointed out on the broadcast, that is a big left field.
Yep.
And Altuve looks so tiny in a big left field.
He had a good
catch. Altuve made that really nice catch in the fourth inning. Yep. It was after Garcia had made his couple of nice catches. Fifth inning. It was the fifth inning.
Yeah.
Garcia made his in the fourth.
How about that play Pena made on the other side of second base on the outfield grass last night?
Yeah.
Ground ball. I forget who hit it. But a pretty sharp hit grounder up the middle to the right field side of second base. And Pena was shifted over, but you're not allowed to shift over that far anymore. Dude, he fielded that ball, went to the ground to field the ball, slid, got up all in one motion, planted himself, and threw a dime to first base. Pena's having a great year, man. And he had 2 hits again last night, if I'm not mistaken. He had at least 1 hit, I know, off of DeGrom last night. I know he had 2 strikeouts, but he had a hit last night. He's still hitting 315, 320 right now. Pena's been awesome. And boy, that defensive play last night. That was a fun game last night. You know, 1-0 game. There were a lot of good baseball played out there last night. That was cool. Need more runs, though. Gotta have more runs. All right. Off and running on a Friday. We made it. We made it to the end of the week. Yesterday when we went through the Texans schedule, we didn't mention the preseason schedule. And I know people don't care about the preseason games. But the one thing we do get sometimes are those joint practices. Could we see one? There is one particular coach that wants to get with the Texans before the season starts. And this Caleb Williams story that came out yesterday is, boy, this book.
It's got some cautionary tales with the Texans, frankly. I'm reading this Caleb Williams story, and I'm like, man, D'Amico really screwed that one up.
Let's get into that. We'll do that. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get into this Caleb Williams story. There's a book coming out by Seth Wickersham called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And there's some quotes in there from Caleb Williams and his father, Carl Williams, that had everybody talking yesterday. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes here. Real quick, and we'll still hit some schedule stuff from today. Be more fun stuff from the schedule releases and things like that. We know now what the Texans schedule is going to be. We didn't touch on the preseason yesterday. Not that the opponents in the preseason are super important, because guys really don't play in the preseason anymore. The Texans will play at Minnesota, home for the Panthers, at Detroit, all on Saturday, all during the afternoon. It's a pretty cookie cutter preseason. No Hall of Fame game or anything like that this year for the Texans. But the one thing with preseason games could come with joint practices. We've seen that both seasons that DeMeco's been here so far. The Dolphins, his first year here, should have had him with the Saints. They canceled those. And then last year, the Rams came to town. If there's going to be joint practices here, it'll be with the Carolina Panthers. That's the only home game in the preseason. And Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, is hoping to get some joint practices, or at least talking about it, with the Texans.
We're reaching out to Houston and Pittsburgh as well to kind of see, you know, what the level of interest for those guys are. Think about, you know, having a joint practice with Houston in that heat, you know, and getting the acclimation. It'll be hot here, you know, but I know I was in Tampa for a year. I've heard Houston is very similar. So just being able to get some acclimation, again, just another great way to just challenge the guys to maintain focus in a different type of environment. So we're open to, you know, those things with the Texans and the Steelers.
It's funny, Seth, until the Texans win a Super Bowl, like the one thing that I'm going to be like puffing our chest out about, like when people talk about other cities and how hot they are, I'm like, no. We have the hottest training camps.
You don't even know.
Shut Canales. Your mouth.
No. I made the same mistake because I played in Florida for 5 years.
That's right.
It pretty much on the same interstate that runs through Houston. The same latitude, everything. And I got here and no way, man.
Yep.
It's different here.
Yeah.
It's different in Houston. So
yep.
The one thing about the Panthers, it's not like they have a classic Panthers defensive line with so many of the various studs they've had through the years.
Yeah.
So it won't be a huge test if they do have combined practices.
Yep.
But still, yeah, as much the offensive line versus actual competition as much as possible and different jerseys, I'd be all about that. For me, it's all about the offensive line at this point.
Yeah. And it just spices things up. Like training camp, there can get to be, look, I'm sitting here talking about someone who just sits there and watches it and takes notes on my phone.
It's hard to stand there and watch.
No, but it's
harder than actually practicing. Because you have nothing to do except think about how hot
you've done both. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, you've done both. So yeah.
I thought about hiring a private coach to come and just yell at me to take my mind off of it. Maybe recreate
just some light drills and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, the easy days back when I could just, you know, focus on trying to play football.
That's right. Yeah. So it does break the monotony down a little bit. The Panthers would be fun. You get, you know, get up close to see what might have been. You know, Bryce Young. You get Bryce Young. We might get a Xavier Leggett press conference. That'll be the one joint practice where everybody from the home team is flocking over to the other team's media sessions.
Yeah, we'll hear our familiar voices asking questions of Xavier Leggett.
Yes.
Asking him to just see if you can say Susie sells two shelves by the whatever that is. What was that? Yeah.
Supercalifragilistic expialidocious. Yeah.
I do think that there's an opportunity. Yeah. Where you probably got ties to the Rainbow Lodge, Sean, because the Rainbow Lodge does a whole lot of kind of, you know, game type food and everything.
Yeah.
And Xavier Leggett eats a lot of wild game.
That would be fun.
I feel like the Rainbow Lodge could do some kind of little social media hit with Xavier Leggett.
Is that the one up in the Heights? It's up in the Heights.
Yeah,
think,
it's
right
on the, it's down on the bayou. It's not in the Heights, it's on the bayou there.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
I mean, Allen Parkway.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Wait, I might be wrong on that. That's my memory of it.
I thought it was across the street from Cavator up there.
It probably is. I'm probably way off on this.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I may not be. I haven't been, just to answer your question. I do not have connections to the Rainbow Lodge, but if Xavier Leggett is going to come cook some raccoon in some sort of, you know, like some gathering, some appearance out there here, that's what he should do. He should have a traveling roadshow where he just cooks raccoon every city that he goes to. I would go. I would totally go. The other reason it would be good to get Carolina, you and I get a chance to maybe goad their owner, David Tepper, into throwing drinks at us. Remember when he did that? He threw a drink at
somebody? Yeah, he's a grumpy old bastard.
Yeah, I think you and I could get him. I think you and I could get him going.
He's tempestuous.
Might be able to sue him.
It's up on the Rainbow Lodge is at 21st Street and Ella Boulevard.
You're
right. I just remember eating there once and it looking over the water. I think it was when I was first here in Houston.
Yeah, I may have moved. It's been a while.
Head from my butt. Yeah. No. I just remember being on the water. So in my mind, I thought it was down off of Allen Parkway there.
Yep. Yeah. So I'd be up for that. Thumbs up on the Panthers coming to town for joint practices. All right, let's get to this Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, for those who missed it yesterday, there's a book coming out. Seth Wickersham, who's probably best known for writing an article and writing a book that almost plundered the Patriots back in 2017.
That's right.
A lot of juicy Jimmy Garoppolo gossip and things like that.
The team was falling apart. They would win a Super Bowl that year.
They would, yes. So American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, is the book. And it's not a biography about Caleb Williams. He's one of several quarterbacks that get covered in this thing. I'll tell you, the description of the book, I might actually end up buying this book and reading it because it talks a lot about how quarterbacks in high school are getting treated in the NIL era, which is a fascinating thing to me, just like how it's trickled down to that level of football, like all the money and the glitz and everything. But as far as Caleb Williams goes, it confirms some things that we had heard, which is that Caleb Williams was looking, he wanted nothing to do with Chicago during the draft process after knowing that they had the first pick. He and his family looked at lawyering up and circumventing the NFL draft, maybe even going to the UFL for a year and then trying to come in as a free agent to the NFL, seeing if that was a possibility. Caleb's dad is kind of the lightning rod in this, Carl Williams. He said, the quote is that Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die, end quote. Hard to argue the other side of that. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. Weather is weather. We know how that goes. He even consulted Carl Williams consulted with Archie Manning about how the Manning family played the whole getting Eli out of getting drafted by the Chargers thing back in 2004. Carl Williams called the rookie salary cap unconstitutional, said the CBA is the worst piece of poop I've ever read, but he was more graphic than that. And then Ryan Poles dug in as the GM of the Bears and told the Williams family, look, we are drafting you no matter what. Like, you're going to get drafted by us, which I respect.
Poles said we'll draft you no matter what.
Yeah.
And the big turning point was Caleb Williams went and got sweet talked by everybody and then just said basically he didn't want to nuke the city.
That was a big quote too. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he was cool with going there. I think that's the whole thing. If you think about Caleb Williams' dad, and there was a lot of speculation and anonymous reports about this type of drama beforehand. Caleb Williams was much more in line with Eli Manning, which was, okay, this dude is a bona fide top five pick. If he doesn't go to the Bears, he's going to have other options.
Yeah.
It was, and if that would have happened, just as it was with Eli Manning, Caleb Williams would have gotten really criticized and destroyed for it, or the dad would have, just like Archie Manning was. The difference between Caleb Williams and Shedeur Sanders is that Caleb Williams is just a better quarterback prospect, and they went about it differently. They did it relatively privately and quietly, as opposed to the way that Deion and Shedeur handled it, which was the exact opposite way of they should have handled it.
Oh, yeah. No, Caleb never tried to tank an interview or turn off teams intentionally or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right.
He went through the process like you do. Yeah, I didn't want to nuke the city is a really – that was a direct quote. So that's not just Seth saying he didn't want to nuke the city. That's a direct quote. Caleb Williams, when he was interviewed for this book, was asked why he didn't end up going John Elway on Chicago, because that was a big – the Mannings didn't do that. The Elways did that, where Elway, John Elway and Jack Elway, his dad, just trashed the Baltimore Colts the whole time. Like, went on a smear campaign about the Baltimore Colts. Caleb Williams didn't have the stomach for that. Obviously, he didn't have the stomach to try to force his way out. He's on the Chicago Bears right now. So there's a few interesting angles with this thing. And certainly, I asked my son, who lives in Chicago, yesterday, like, what are they saying about this up there? And he said a lot of people are just blaming it on Eberflus and Shane Waldron. Like, he just didn't want to play. He didn't want to play. And it turns out he was right. Like, Shane Waldron and Eberflus both got fired. You know?
And this is where the Texans connection, the cautionary tale with the Texans come in. You've got a defensive-minded coach who hires an offensive coordinator who, to hear it from the quotes in here about Caleb Williams, the Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, did not seem to have given Caleb Williams the best chance of actually having a good rookie year.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams says that he would watch film, but nobody was telling him when he was watching film on his own. He didn't have any guidance as like what he should be watching, what he should be looking for.
Just walk in and turn it on and watch. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, coming from an air raid offense, that's a big deal, because Caleb Williams didn't have the same type of football education in college that C.J. Stroud did. Caleb Williams, when you're in an air raid offense, there's not a whole lot of options after your first option goes out. They don't give the quarterback a whole bunch of tools. This is where a guy like Pat Mahomes, when he came into the league, he was far behind a lot of other young quarterbacks, but he was lucky enough to go to Andy Reid, who gave him a really good education in that first year where Pat Mahomes didn't play until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams' experience coming out of college as a guy that wasn't all that football educated by quarterback standards.
Yeah.
Comes into a situation where it sounds, from his perspective at least, that he really didn't get the right kind of tutelage, if much tutelage at all.
So what's your big concern about the Texans with this?
Okay, so here's the common theme here would be, Shane Waldron, that offensive coordinator, got his start with the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Followed Charlie Weiss off to Notre Dame before he went back to the Patriots.
Shane Waldron was on the staff at Notre Dame? I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Well, he was a grad assistant, I think.
Oh, okay.
So he started off with the Patriots. We don't have to get into the details. Ends up for a long stretch as the passing game coordinator for the LA Rams. Hey, working for Sean McVay, you're the passing game coordinator, huh? And then he goes and gets his first job with the Seahawks, where it basically did nothing to help the Seahawks, and then ended up in Chicago. So very similar resume in a lot of regards to Nick Cayley, who started off his career with the Patriots, goes to the Rams, becomes the passing game coordinator, here we have it.
I hope Nick Cayley's listening right now. I hope he's listening and taking notes on you.
It's
right
no
now.
Shade at him individually. Yeah. It's just a cautionary tale this is why I'm waiting and seeing. I have no idea if Nick Cayley's going to be
Nick Cayley doesn't know if he's going to be a good offensive coordinator or not.
Right.
Yeah.
He probably believes that he is, but he doesn't know for sure until he does it.
Well, that's a good catch by you right there, those similarities with Shane Waldron and Nick Cayley. I would not have connected those dots. That's interesting. Eberflus.
That's one of the reasons that I wanted a veteran offensive coordinator, and it's not because – it's never a guarantee. You know, guys are good at some places, bad others, the talent matters, everything else. But there are coordinators in the league that quarterbacks love, and they say, oh yeah, this guy just helps me, he gives me the answers to the test, he taught me so much more about football. And then there's coordinators that, I mean, I remember talking to Brunell once when one of his offensive coordinators, Brunell was basically saying, I don't understand this offense. Like, you know, they coach... they basically tell you, well, you should have gone with the ball there. There's so many option routes and everything. Yeah. And it was a whole lot of hindsight coaching of like, oh, you should have seen that this guy was open. And he was not a fan of that offensive coordinator. It happens.
Yeah.
Talking to the quarterbacks themselves about how guys have actually helped them can go a long way, regardless of what the actual results on paper are.
Yep. My other angle with this Caleb Williams story, if you're just getting in your car, Caleb Williams, book coming out by Seth Wickersham, where there's a lot of quotes in here about how Caleb Williams did not want to go to Chicago to the extent where he was looking to circumvent the draft and lawyer up to get out of going to Chicago in the draft. If I were a Chicago Bears fan reading this, I'm not angry with Caleb Williams about what he said about Chicago before the draft, or more to the point, what his dad said about Chicago, because the quotes that really criticize the Bears as either an organization or a team in a cold weather city are coming from the dad, not from Caleb so much. But so I wouldn't be mad about that, because there is part of this story where Caleb, as you, I think you pointed out, Seth, eventually he sat down with the Bears and he was really excited about going to Chicago. You know, eventually he talked himself into it. I would just be nervous if I were a Bears fan that mentality is just lurking around the corner all the time. You know what I mean? Like, this is a play that if things,
you're right.
Things aren't going the right way. You know, if things aren't going the right way, is he going to revert back to pre-draft Caleb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, and then from my standpoint, just looking at it, I mean, D'Amico's already made this mistake once. He hired the wrong offensive coordinator. And what do you worry about with your defensive-minded head coach? He's got to be sure he hires the right coordinator. And that was a big error. I think D'Amico pretty much owned up to it, you know, without trying to throw Bobby Slowick under the bus. Yeah. That was a mistake, and that's probably – it's been the most damaging mistake that D'Amico has made so far that he'd made easily before he even knew what he was doing as a head coach.
Yeah.
So hopefully this time around they figured it out and got it right.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Payne and Pendergast, we'll circle back to this. Everybody's talking about this Caleb Williams thing, this book that's coming out, and I will get that book. It sounds like it's going to be good. All right, headlines. Let's get back to the Astros. Not a great night last night for the Astros. Great night for Hunter Brown, but not a great night for the team. We've got some injury news with the Astros. We've got NBA news. There's going to be a Game 7 this weekend. And some NFL news that we'll get into as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
Fly ball on the infield. Berger gives way to Simeon, and the Rangers win a 1-0 game. We figured a run might be dangerous early. It took until the sixth inning for either team to score. It was a solo home run by Jake Berger, and it would hold up tonight as Jacob DeGrom and Sean Armstrong combine on a shutout of the Astros, a five-hit shutout. 1-0 the final score. Rangers have now won six straight. And the Astros dropped the first game in this four-game series.
All right, there you go. Todd Callis on the call. He's right, Seth. Berger hit that home run, and it felt like it was 8-0. You know, that one run in that game was going to feel monumental, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, because DeGrom was dealing, and as we all know by the end of that broadcast, DeGrom's way better against righties than lefties, yeah. And the Astros only have a half lefty in the lineup now with Victor Caratini, the switch hitter.
Yep.
Hunter Brown was magnificent. Got some good defense on a couple plays. It had a perfect game going for a while until that was another reason I hate Adolis Garcia.
Broke up the perfect game.
Yeah, he's the one that broke up the perfect game.
Yeah.
So, but that's the most, there's all kinds of superlatives about Hunter Brown right now. I think the most impressive one and the one that tells the real story of Hunter Brown, because he made that improvement last year when he added the sinker, is in the last 365 days, he's got the lowest ERA in the league.
Him and Skeensy, so, right?
Yeah. No. Skeens was another stat. I can't remember what the – whatever it is.
Oh, I thought it was Skeens you said before, okay. him and Hunter. Either way, whatever. Hunter's been –
there is a Skeens stat related to it, but
So here's Joe Espada on Hunter Brown's performance.
Oh, you're right. No, you're exactly right, Sean. Skeens has the lower ERA. Yeah, so Brown has the second lowest ERA in the last 365.
Yeah, here's Joe Espada on Hunter Brown.
Yeah, he was really, really, really good. From the first pitch of the ball game, that first inning, he came out throwing strikes, all his pitches working. I couldn't, he's strong performance. He's really, really good.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Here's Joe Espada on Hunter Brown, the Hunter Brown Jacob DeGrom dynamic in this game and the Astros bats.
Yeah, they're both known. It's a pitcher's duel, and sometimes in a pitcher's duel, it's just one pitch sometimes is all it takes, right? And that's what happened today's game. Our offense, I thought, we had some really good at-bats. I think we shifted our focus and we started hitting balls to middle, right center field. They made some really good plays behind DeGrom. But it was a heck of a ball game.
So, when can they get some lefties back, Sean? Who gets it back first, Yordan, or they trade for a lefty?
Get some lefties back. They got one, and it's Yordan, and he's like, they don't – that's the only one. This was an issue before Yordan got hurt, that this was such a righty-heavy lineup. They got nobody. Yeah. They got nobody on the bench. That Chandler Rome article was talking about how, they cut Ben Gamel in spring training because they wanted Cam Smith and DeZenzo on this team. And that's – you sacrifice that. You sacrifice having at least a little bit of variety in your lineup to develop these two young guys who are both right-handed hitters.
So the other big names on the injury front, Lance McCullers, who's not currently injured except that obviously he's having a hard time coming back from his injuries. He'll pitch tonight versus Eovaldi, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. And then Wisniewski, it did not sound good on the broadcast last night.
Wisniewski, they said yesterday, I think it was Dana Brown said, we'll know something in the next 36 hours. He's with the team in Arlington. This was curious, though. We probably should have played this yesterday. This was on the broadcast two nights ago. Yeah. So it would have been the last game of the Royals series. And this caught people's attention because we not heard anything from the team yet about the severity of Wisniewski's injury. That's what the Astros did. The Astros are very cloak and dagger about this stuff. But Todd Callis had this to say when he was kind of going through some of the pitching injuries the other night on the broadcast.
Anticipating big seasons out of both Spencer Arrighetti and Hayden Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Arrighetti can still fulfill that as he is slowly coming back from his injury. He is not obviously going to be out for the season, but Hayden Wisniewski is likely to be out for the season. We'll find out more as we go along. But
yeah, that's too bad. I miss him.
Spencer's a big part of things.
So that felt a whole lot like, people
that
know
feels
things.
A whole lot like he's waiting for a second opinion. I know that some of the writers get frustrated with the Astros when they don't divulge stuff, but I do think sometimes the Astros are just, they're trying to be respectful to the player's right to go get a second opinion and confirm that you need UCL surgery or whatever it might be.
Yeah, no doubt. But Cal is saying likely out for the year. Right. People are like, wow, okay, yeah. The team doesn't do that. You know, yeah. Even when Verlander ended up being out for the year, the team was hanging on for dear life, saying he might still be back. And so the people...
I feel like Cal knows... Felt like Callis knows something.
Right, it might have slipped a little bit there, you know, putting it out there. I think at this
maybe
stage...
Maybe he's trying to put on a reverse jinx.
That would be good. Hey, along those lines, people are saying... You brought up earlier how we played that audio earlier of Berger, Berger, the player for the Rangers that hit the home run last night, is a devout Catholic, so joking that the Pope might have helped him win that game.
Well, he himself said that the team's been playing better since Pope Leo was named, and that also that he said his motto is... New Pope, new me.
Yeah. Someone is requesting on the text page that you start using your Pope Zaza powers to put a hex on Berger for this weekend. Pope versus Pope.
No, I'm not going to directly pit myself against the actual Pope.
I'm just telling you what
someone wanted. I don't feel like that's good for anybody.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be funny enough to justify it.
Yeah.
The only way I could make it funny would be for me to be super sacrilegious, and I don't feel
like doing that. You don't have the stomach for that. I don't blame you.
Because of my relationship with the Lord.
Correct. I get it. I get it. All right. So Astros back at it tonight. Astros.
It's one of my least favorite things.
Astros back at it tonight in Arlington. Three more in this set over the weekend. NBA last night, there will be a Game 7. If you like Game 7, you know the old saying, nothing more exciting in sports than a Game 7. Well, you're going to get one in the Western Conference playoffs. The Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder will be headed to a Game 7 this weekend. 119-107, the Nuggies beat the Thunder last night.
It's a 2:30 p.m. game, I just realized.
Oh, when?
Yeah.
Saturday or Sunday? Is it on Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday afternoon. Oh, yeah, it'll almost be like the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, the Astros playing in the afternoon?
I think they are, yeah. But I think it's at noon, though.
I don't like the NBA during the day. There's something that it feels like you're at a nightclub at 2 p.m. Oh. You know, like, I'm like, oh,
no, man.
Right.
Feels like a nooner. That's what it feels like. I like it.
Because there's something about the energy of an NBA game that just feels like it needs to be at night.
Yeah.
But regardless, on my couch, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
Biggest one out of this, Jalen Williams, I didn't realize he'd been this bad. I knew he wasn't playing all that great. Last three games, he's 10 for 43 from the floor.
3 for 16 last night. Ugh.
Yeah.
Brutal. Russell Westbrook, I was seeing a lot of tweets about him early on in the game. I guess the Nuggets had a lead. I was watching the Astros. I wasn't watching this game until the Astros game was over. And I guess Russ had a stretch. He had a stretch that was so bad in the first quarter that even Nick Wright, who's a huge Russ fan, was tweeting about how bad Russ was. He was in. And then I went and looked at the box score, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Russ, he came in for 5 minutes, had 3 turnovers, and went 1 for 4 from the field.
Russell Westbrook has always just felt like he is a roulette wheel.
Yeah.
Where, hey, you can go on a run, you can do this, you can do that, but on any given night, you've got either, what's the chance in roulette, 52%? Whatever the
one in 30, wait, it's 1 in 30. There's 36 numbers and 2 zeros on the wheel, so 1 in 30.
Okay, so whatever the odds, but you're either gonna get rich or go bust, and you just never know. And when you get to the playoffs, it gets really dicey when those random nights will show up.
Hey, what do you think about this? According to Tom Pelissero, the owners in the NFL next week at their spring meetings, among many things they're gonna discuss, including the tush push. They're going to discuss a resolution that would allow NFL players to participate in the 2028 Olympics, where flag football, and the Olympics are here in the United States, flag football is going to be an Olympic sport in 2028.
I don't like it just because I don't think NFL players are going to be as good at it as you think at first blush. Just because for a couple of reasons. One, there are hundreds and hundreds of guys who are just a little bit slower or a little bit smaller than Tank Dell, who otherwise would be really good NFL wide receivers.
Yeah.
And the contact doesn't matter as much when you get when you're in flag football. Now height helps, obviously. So some of the taller receivers, that could make a big difference from the NFL standpoint.
Sure.
But the actual skill of grabbing the flag and everything, that's a pretty damn finely tuned skill that NFL players are just, they've got no experience with it. I don't think it's going to be a good look for the NFL. I think it'll be a good look for flag football that not many NFL players are actually that good at.
This is actually a sport that's unique, and you need a certain skill set to thrive.
This is what happens when NFL players, a lot of really good college football players try rugby if they don't make it in the NFL. The biggest difference there is endurance. It's just a completely different sport,
endurance-wise.
And a lot of football players are just not ready for that level of constant running. So they're not as good as you'd expect based on their they've got an outstanding athleticism, but they're just not used to that game specifically.
Tank would be really good, I think. I think Tank would be excellent. Healthy Tank.
I don't know if he can grab a flag.
Remember how hard it is to grab the flag? No, I'm saying with the ball in his hand. I'm thinking more offensively.
Do they have to play both ways?
I don't know.
I would imagine they have to play both ways.
I was wondering the same thing. How many guys are on a team? Yeah, I don't know much about it. Lamar Jackson, I think, would be awesome as well at this, at quarterback. I think he'd be great. So, there you go.
I don't know what I think about. I just know that it's a different sport. It's like trying to say which baseball player would be the best cricket player. It's just different.
I just know I don't want any of the Texans playing in it. This is going to get the World Baseball Classic treatment from me on this. Yeah. Cool. Do it. Sounds like a blast. Don't want any of my guys playing in it. Don't want any non-contact injuries from Olympic flag football. All right. Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. All right. So the schedule release came earlier this week, and with that came schedule release videos where teams are announcing their schedules and, by and large, throw shade at all 14 of their opponents, you know, division foes twice. How did the Texans get treated by the other teams in these schedule release videos? There's some pretty funny ones here, actually. We will get to that. Big day for Bill Belichick as well that we will get to, and some more news coming out about that weird relationship that he's in right now. We'll get to all that in the 7 o'clock hour, 713-572-4610, if you want to hit us on the text page. Stay there, Payne and Pendergast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.